All right, let's turn in our Bibles again tonight to Acts chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 31 tonight. This morning I read chapter 5 and verse 3 and preached on the devil, and tonight I want to go back to the fourth chapter, verse 31, and speak to you on the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the great battle, the great conflict, and we saw this morning that the conflict has two primary players. There is the devil that we saw this morning. The question was asked by Peter to Ananias, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" So you got the devil in the conflict. And then on the other side, we looked at verse 31 of the fourth chapter. And of course, this verse telling us the Spirit's role in this fight, God's role in this fight, in this battle. We saw that the disciples came back after they were imprisoned and kept overnight. They were questioned, they were interrogated, and then they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. They did not want to hear that gospel anymore. So they went back to their own company. They went back to the church, told them all that had happened, and then they got on their faces before the Lord and they began to pray. They did not pray for the persecution to end. They did not pray for the Sanhedrin to be destroyed or for God to judge them. Instead, they prayed for more opportunity. They prayed that God would give them more opportunity to preach and would use them in a greater way. And so when they finished praying in verse 31, the Bible says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So this morning we saw one part of the great conflict, and tonight we're going to look at the other. I did not want to preach this message first and then end on the devil. I wanted to start with the devil and end on a high note with the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I've reversed the messages for you tonight. And so let's pray and ask God to bless, and then the great battle, part two. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you so much for the cross, and thank you for the precious blood that flowed from Calvary's mountain. Lord, we're so thankful that we have salvation in the Lord Jesus. And Lord, as was sung in the song, what I said this morning, people think that our problems can be answered through politics or through education or through sociology, through programs. Lord, help us to realize that our problems are spiritual problems. The conflict is a spiritual conflict, Lord, and I pray that we'll understand that our problems can only be solved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we look tonight at the role that the Holy Spirit plays in this conflict, help us to see our need. Lord, if there is even one precious soul here tonight that does not know the Lord, may they realize their need and trust Him tonight. And Father, I pray that you have liberty to speak to hearts. And Father, as we look at the Holy Spirit's job, as we look at the Holy Spirit's ministry, just pray that, Lord, you will help us to realize that, Lord, the Holy Spirit wants to use us. He has to have people that are willing and surrendered and yielded. And Lord, as we heard in the solo tonight during the offering, people need the Lord. So Father, help us to be challenged tonight, to be soul winners for Thee, and to allow the Spirit of God to use us. Lord, thank you for the good report of Linda's faithfulness and 125 precious souls that will now be in heaven because of her witness. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Help us to see that, Lord, the way you used her, you can use us. And may we be challenged in that area. Bless us tonight richly, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit and enable and help me as I preach. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Well, this morning we saw the first part, or we saw one part of the great conflict. This morning we looked at the devil and we saw his principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and how they work to thwart and to hinder and to destroy that which was created to give honor and glory to God. We saw in the message this morning what the Bible has to say about the devil. And what we learned is that the devil has always been, from the beginning, a liar. He's always been a murderer. He's always been a cheater. Everything that he does is done by deception. He is wicked. He is evil. He is deceitful. He is bitter. He is angry. He is one who despises the Lord and all that the Lord has created and all that the Lord stands for. And what I did not get to, basically because I ran out of time, I have one other little side point that I was going to throw into the message this morning, but I'll give it to you right now. One of the things that I was going to say is that when the devil leads and when he fills hearts and when he gets people to follow his direction, his pleasures always lead to judgment. They always lead to judgment. Now, he disguises that. He tries to make you think that that's not the case. There is pleasure in sin, but it is only for a season. It does not last. It will not last. And it always eventually leads to judgment. And, you know, we think we are so clever, as did Ananias and Sapphira. We think his evil clutches certainly won't have the impact upon us that they have had on others. But suddenly we are confronted by an apostle Peter who says to us, "Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." Judgment always catches up with us. There is a price to pay for following the devil's leading. And judgment always catches up with us. We cannot get away with sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And we're ultimately faced with its punishment and the doom that always comes with sin. Now, this is the devil's character. This is his person. This is who he is. This is what he is. Satan, the hater of God, the one that hates humanity, the one that is our enemy, the one that Paul said was our adversary, or that Peter said was our adversary. This one is in his character a devious and destructive person. And this morning in the message, we saw what the devil offers, we saw what the devil teaches, and we saw the results of believing the devil's lies. But here's the good news now. I said to you that there are two persons or two parts in this great conflict. And the good news is the other side of the conflict is run and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, who is also ready to fill the heart. Now, we saw in this fifth chapter that Peter said that Ananias had his heart filled with the devil. The devil came and filled his heart with that which was not good. But on the other side of the conflict is the Holy Spirit, who is also ready to fill the heart. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 that we're not to that we're to be filled with the Spirit. Now, listen, folks, that is not a suggestion. That is a commandment from the Lord. He said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost." And so we see the Spirit of God ready to fill the heart of every believer. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, it says in the second chapter of Acts. And remember that this coming of the Spirit and this filling of the Spirit was the promise of the Father in the Old Testament. The Bible was very clear that the day was coming when the hearts of men would know the filling of the Spirit. And so the Lord Jesus himself said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you," John 16:7. And the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and the disciples are now doing this work of the ministry. They are now doing this preaching and taking this stand for the gospel, working in the church, in the realm of the presence of the Holy Spirit filling their hearts. Now, we consider the devil, We looked at him this morning. We saw who he is. We saw how he works. But tonight, I want us to consider the Holy Spirit. And I want us to look at how the Holy Spirit is and to look at how the Holy Spirit works. What a contrast with the devil. What a contrast between the two. What a tremendous difference in character, whereas the Bible always shows the devil as a murderer and as a liar. The Holy Spirit is called in the Scriptures the Spirit of Holiness. In another place, he is referred to as the Spirit of Truth. The Lord Jesus said, he will guide you in all truth. In John 16:13, he is the eternal antithesis of the devil in every respect. But supremely, he is the Spirit of Truth. And just like God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is always the same in all ages. That means, dear friend, that he is the Spirit of Truth tonight. That means, dear friend, that he is the Spirit of Holiness tonight and expects us to be holy ourselves. So what is my message tonight? Well, let me say, first of all, that my message tonight is nothing new. The message that I am giving you tonight is not some new revelation. It is simply the same message that was preached by the apostles. I'm not telling you what I've just read in the latest book by some great philosopher. This is the message that was given to the apostles. And when you read it, you cannot help but see the power of the Holy Spirit all over it. So, first of all tonight, what is the message of the Holy Spirit? Well, we saw this morning what the devil's message is, but what is the message of the Holy Spirit of God? I can only give it to you in summary form because of time, but be assured of this fact, the Holy Spirit is going to give us the truth. Now, we saw this morning that the devil has a message, and he gives us a lie. And we saw how he lies to us about ourselves. He tells us that we're just animals that have been created and that we can't help ourselves. We're just animals. We have instincts and we must follow our instincts, and that our problems are cultural problems or they're societal problems or they're heritage problems or they're poverty problems, and he lies to us. But folks, you can be assured the Holy Spirit gives us the truth about ourselves. The devil always lies to us and tells us that we're better than we are, but the Spirit gives us the truth. Now, what's the Spirit say to us? Well, first, he tells us that we're not just another animal on the planet. We're not just another animal on the planet. Can I remind you, folks, that the Word of God begins by telling us about a conversation that took place between the Godhead when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a talk with one another in Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image. And then it goes on in the 27th verse and says, and in the image of God created he them. Hey, folks, listen, we are especially created by God, and God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And that makes us totally different from the animals. We are made in God's image. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a lot of things, but one thing it means is this: God loves, and God created us with the ability to love others. It means that God thinks and reasons, and God gave us the ability. He created us with the ability to think and reason. It means that God wills and chooses, and God made us with the ability to choose and to exercise our wills. In other words, when God made us, He made us as free moral agents, and we are therefore responsible to God for our actions. We're not just another animal on the planet who can't control himself. Now, the devil and his crowd would have us think that we're all just animals. And as animals, we can't control our lusts. And as animals, we can't control our passions. As animals, we can't control our desires. And so, therefore, if you eat too much, or if you drink too much, or if you are promiscuous, or if you abuse drugs, hey, it's not your fault, they say. You're just another animal who has run across some bad circumstances in your life, and you are the product of your own bad environment. It's not your fault, and you're just following your basic instincts in life. No, dear friend, that's what the world teaches. That's the lie of the devil. And the Spirit of God tells us the truth about ourselves. And the Spirit of God shows us in His precious book that He authored and inspired and tells us that we are responsible beings before God. We are God's representatives in this universe and are accountable to God for our behavior. The Holy Spirit tells us that in our folly, we have listened to the devil and thus plunged into sin, and that because of sin, we're in the mess that we're in today. That's the truth that the Bible tells us about ourselves. Secondly, the Spirit tells us the truth about God. Now, we saw this morning that the devil is not going to tell you the truth about God. The devil wants the world to think that there is no God. But the Spirit has revealed the truth to us about God. You say, well, Pastor, I'd really like to know about God. Right here, folks, just read it. It's in the book. And the Holy Spirit is the one that has told us in this book. Think about what the Scriptures reveal to us. The Scriptures reveal to us that God is a God of holiness and justice and righteousness. Throughout the Scripture is verse after verse given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which tells us that God is holy and that He is righteous and that our sin is an offense to Him, such an offense to where He cannot even look upon our sin. The Scriptures give us little glimpses not only of God's righteousness and holiness and justice, but that righteousness and that justice and that holiness being implemented and defended. For example, do you not remember when God looked down upon the world when Noah was here, and God saw the sin, and God saw the wickedness, and so God called Noah aside and said, Noah, I'm going to send my judgment, my wrath. And the Bible says that it repented God that He had even made man. And so He called Noah aside and said, build me an ark. For I'm going to bring my judgment. And boy, that judgment came. Folks, Noah stood out there for 120 years preaching that gospel. He stood out there and reprimanded that old wicked society and preached to them that the wrath of God was coming. And they laughed at him and they mocked. But boy, they weren't laughing when all of a sudden the hand of God reached down and shut that door. And it started to rain. They had never seen rain before. You see, God every day had watered the earth through that vapor, through that canopy that He had around the earth. And it had never rained before. All of a sudden, the fountains of the deep broke loose. What are the fountains of the deep? That's your water well. That's what that is. And all of a sudden, that ruptured. And all the water that was in the earth came out. And then the vapor fell down upon the earth. And God flooded the earth. And everyone died except for Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. We've seen little glimpses of God's wrath and judgment being poured out upon sin. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah and the fire coming down out of heaven to judge and destroy the Sodomites. We see the mighty army of Pharaoh as they chased after the children of Israel. And God, who was leading Israel in that pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, God rose up and went over top of the children of Israel and came down and stood in front of the Egyptians and stopped them as they were ready to destroy the people of God. And the Bible says that Pharaoh and all his army were standing there, and they couldn't proceed because God was standing in the way. And it says that God looked at that army. Can you imagine having God look at you? And I'm telling you, folks, even that did not make them repent. They were insistent. And so the children of Israel went across the Red Sea on dry ground, and then the cloud went up. And it went over the sea itself, and Pharaoh, in his obstinance, in his arrogancy, just proceeded on. And when all the army got down into the Red Sea, boom, the water comes rolling in, and all of them drown. We have seen little glimpses. We see Korah and his compatriots who stood against Moses, and they were swallowed up by the earth and plunged into death. And folks, I could go on and on and on. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit of God gives us little glimpses and reveals the justice and the holiness and the wrath of God Almighty. And yet, in spite of it, we refuse to believe that God is how the Holy Spirit reveals him to be. Folks, that is not at all. That is not all something that we should neglect. When you read this Bible and you read about those judgments and you read about that wrath, it ought to cause you to tremble, because that wrath was against sin. It was not necessarily against individuals. It was against individuals who were sinning and violating the laws of God. And boy, I'm telling you, that's the same God that we serve today. You say, well, why don't we see more glimpses of it today? Folks, I think we see more than we're willing to admit. I really do. I really do. But that's not all the Spirit teaches us concerning God. Yes, he reveals God's wrath and justice and judgment and righteousness. But thank God we also read in the Bible of God's grace and mercy and love. You see, you not only have God's wrath, you also have God's love. And listen to how Paul stated his truth. Paul said it this way: but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Why? That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness to usward through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. So, folks, the Bible reveals to us the truth about ourselves and the truth about God. Now, there's something else that I need to point out to you. Secondly, the Spirit has been sent into the church to glorify Jesus. Now, do you remember when we read 1 John chapter 4 this morning and we saw that the devil's main area of attack is upon the person of Jesus Christ? John talked about how to end of the first century, he gave warning to believers and said, look, there'll be a lot of false preachers, a lot of false prophets who will come. And how do you tell whether a man is a false prophet or a true prophet? Well, you listen to his doctrine, to his teaching about Jesus Christ. And if he's teaching anything other than what has been revealed in Scripture about Jesus, then he's a false prophet. Well, the Spirit has been sent into the church to glorify Jesus. Now, that's what the Bible said. That's what the Lord himself said. Jesus said, and when he is come, he will glorify me. In other words, folks, the Holy Spirit tells us the truth about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I taught you this morning, I showed you this morning, that the devil is going to tell you a lie about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit was sent to the church to tell us the truth about the Lord Jesus. Who is he? that crucial question, what think ye of Christ? Matthew 22:42. And the amazing thing is that the Holy Spirit of God answers that question throughout this amazing record that we call the New Testament. Folks, let me emphasize again, I am convinced that we don't read our Bibles like we should. I am convinced that we don't. You say, Pastor, how can you say something like that? I can say that, folks, because if we read this Bible and believed what it says, I believe that it would shake us and it would rattle us and it would cause us to look at things in a little different light. You want to know Jesus? You want to know who He is? Read your Bible. Read your New Testament. Listen, here it is in one verse. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. You want to know who Jesus is? Listen to this. For God so loved the world that He, God, gave His, God, only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hey, folks, the Holy Spirit of God reveals that the babe of Bethlehem's manger was the eternal Son of the living God made flesh. Like Charles Wesley said in his great hymn, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. You see, the message of the Spirit is truth. And that message is that God the Son came into the world to die on Calvary's cross so that God could pay the penalty that you and I owe for sin. Right. My dear friend, that message is either received or it's rejected.
Amen.
It's either received or it's rejected. And you know, through the ages, multitudes have heard this message. Thank God, a lot of them have received it, but man, a lot of them have rejected it as well. I mean, multitudes have heard this message and they've rejected it. Some have heard it and they've said what his friends from Galilee said of him. He's just a carpenter. He was just a man. Oh, he's just like any other great man, great prophet, or great preacher. I mean, you know, he's a good influence. He's a good example, but he's not really God. Oh, my friend, listen. That's the devil lying to you right there. The Spirit says that He is God. The Spirit will tell you the truth about Him, folks. Better believe what the Spirit says and not what the devil says. The Holy Spirit also reveals the truth about Christ's salvation. I want you to think of this amazing message of the Spirit. You know, the Lord Jesus came to die on the cross to provide a way for us to be saved. Do you remember when the Savior was approaching Jerusalem? As He was coming towards Jerusalem, where He would soon be arrested and where He would soon be taken to the cross, He made a statement and He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. In other words, He came to die. Amen. And my dear friend, that's the whole teaching of the Holy Spirit about Him, that He went to the cross of Calvary willingly. He came deliberately to go to the cross. Why? Because God knew. And as God knew, Jesus knew, and the Spirit knew, God knew that that was the only way for us as human beings to have our sins forgiven and to be redeemed from the curse of sin. The only way for human beings to be saved was if God became a human being. Became one of us. And went to the cross and took our place in death. So on the cross He bore the penalty of my sin and yours. He came, as Hebrews 2:9 says, to taste death for every man. And that is what the Holy Spirit teaches us about Him. The Holy Spirit teaches us that after He died on the cross, they took Him off the cross and they wrapped Him in grave clothes and they laid Him in a borrowed tomb. But that on the third day, He came out of that tomb just like He said He would. Hey, folks, the resurrection of Christ from the grave is a fact, and it was the proof that His work was complete and that it had been accepted by God. He ascended in the sight of the apostles who had witnessed also his life and his death and his resurrection. And now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. You say, Pastor, how do you know all that? It's right here in the book that has been written by the Holy Spirit of God. That's how I know that. If it's not in the book, then we don't accept it. But it is in the book, and that's what the Spirit says. Can I remind you that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Can I remind you that the prophets were led by the Spirit of God to write what they wrote in this book? Hey, folks, listen, it's the Holy Spirit that gives witness to Christ. Turn over to Romans chapter 5 for just a moment. Paul summed this thing up best. Romans 5 verse 6. And let me read a few verses to you, please. This is just such plain, simple language. But listen to what Paul says about this. Paul said, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love to usward, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Here is the message summarized by the Apostle Paul. You want to know what Jesus is all about? Paul just explained it to you right there in those verses. And it was the Holy Spirit of God that has given us that when he gave us the book of Romans. Now, what happens when I believe this message? I get my sins forgiven. I get my sins forgiven. What happens when I believe this message? I'll tell you what happens. I get me a home in heaven. What happens when I believe this message? I'll tell you something else I got in that deal. I got a new heart. What happens when I believe this message? Well, I get the same Holy Spirit who inspired this book that tells us the message. I get the same Holy Spirit that filled these apostles that we're reading about and studying about. I get the same Holy Spirit who leads me and guides me and walks with me and talks with me and tells me I'm his own. That's what I get out of that deal. Man, he helps and he leads and he assists and he guides and he empowers. I get a new life. I get a new start. I get a new nature. I get deliverance. I get victory. I get peace. Hey, you can't lose when you follow what the Spirit's leading you to do. So, folks, you see, this gospel is not just some philosophical teaching. It's not just some ethical program. No, the gospel does not exhort you just to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and try to live a good life, thereby putting you right with God and solving all your problems. No, it knows that no matter what you do, you cannot do that. You just don't have the strength. No, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What a wonderful gospel it is. And folks, I want you to understand the devil knows this and trembles. He knows this and trembles. And that's why he fights you tooth and nail to keep you down and keep your heart from getting excited about this gospel. That's why the devil fights you. I mean, every time church time rolls around, something happens. He doesn't want you here to hear this about this victory. He doesn't want you here to learn and get a burden or to give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to do something in your life. I mean, the devil knows this and trembles. And that's why he fills people's hearts to get them to do that which is not pleasing to God. So the question this evening is the same one I asked you this morning. Who's filling your heart? I mean, who's working on your heart right now? Who's filling your heart? Is it the Holy Ghost of God who will guide you in truth? Or is it the devil who is out to lie and deceive and destroy the work of God? Two forces are at work. And one of them has your heart. And so my question is, which one has filled your heart? Which one has filled your heart? I want you to bow your heads with me for just a moment. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I want you to let the Spirit of God speak to your heart tonight. Now, folks, you've heard the message this morning, and then you heard the message tonight. You heard how the devil wants to fill your heart. You've heard how the Holy Spirit wants to fill your heart. You've heard how the devil is a liar, a murderer, a cheater. He's deceitful. He's despicable. He hates you. He hates God. He hates Jesus. He hates the church. He hates the Bible. And you've heard how the Holy Spirit has inspired the Bible. The Holy Spirit's the author of this book. You've heard how the Holy Spirit wants to guide you in all truth. Oh my, it should not even be a matter of choice. It ought to be as clear as a bell, especially for every believer sitting in this room. Every believer ought to sit here tonight and say, "Oh, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit to guide my life. I want to be yielded." Paul said, "Yield yourselves. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness." And we ought to be sitting here right now just saying, "Oh, Lord, I want the power of that Holy Spirit in my heart. I want God's grace and God's goodness. I want God's blessing. I don't want the devil filling my heart and taking me down a street that's going to end in destruction and misery and sorrow. I don't want to go down the road with the devil. I want to go all the way with the Lord." With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you just take a moment and spend it in prayer? Spend it talking to the Lord. Would you take a moment right now and just say, "Oh, dear Lord, I want to live for Jesus. I want my life to count for Jesus." What is it that's standing in the road that's keeping you from being a great soul winner? What is it that's standing in the road that's keeping you from joining the church and getting busy serving God? What is it that's standing in the way, keeping you from joining the choir, teaching that class? Why don't you just say, "Lord, I'm going to give that to you. I want you to fill my heart and use me to the best of my ability." Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. If you died right now, you don't know for sure that you'd go to heaven. My friend, you ought to tell the devil, just go on back where he came from, leave you alone. And you ought to walk down this aisle tonight and take one of my staff members by the hand and say, somebody, take a Bible and show me how to get to heaven. And let's let God get to victory here tonight. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll stand and sing. But my friend, would you make that decision for the Lord tonight? Father, help us tonight to realize how desperately we need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to guide and direct, to fill our hearts, to lead us in the truth, to guide us in the truth. And Lord, to enable us to become for Christ everything that we can become. Lord, it just takes a willing heart on our behalf, a heart that says, "I'm willing to do what the Lord wants me to do." And Father, that same Spirit that blessed these disciples, that same power that enabled them, is the same power that's available to us. And Lord, it's amazing. They preached the same gospel that we preach here. And yet, Lord, it seems that there are so many that the devil is fighting and is keeping from being what they ought to be. Lord, give victories tonight. Help us, Father, to yield and surrender and say, I'm going to be and do what God would have me be and do. Lord, I pray there might be somebody here tonight that's not sure they're saved. Lord, may they walk down this aisle tonight and let someone take a Bible and in just a few minutes' time show them from the Word of God how they can know that they're saved and on their way to heaven. Lord, I pray that you'll just work in hearts tonight. Save that soul that's nearest hell. And Lord, I pray that you'll stir the hearts of Christians. And Lord, just move us in the direction of thy throne. Father, bless now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.